If it's Monday, it is Maesterclass. This week, our question comes from Lacey, who has a question for a military expert on siege warfare. I got to ask Lacey's question to retired Lieutenant Colonel Matthew L. Cavanaugh. If you, like Lacey, have a question for Maesterclass, book at baldmove.com. Okay, here's Matt.
This is irregular.
Yes, well, I suppose that life is irregular.
So this is from Lacey. Lacey writes, in Martin's world, we see siege warfare of various sorts. One of the tactics seems to be to camp around or outside your enemy's castle and wait until they starve. This seems a rather effective method for getting your enemy to surrender without putting your own soldiers in harm's way. When and why did this method fall out of fashion? Are modern international sanctions just another way to enact this?
So sieges, you know, sieges have been around as long as, you know, probably as long as the first ape slapped the next day.
But, I mean, think you need a wall first.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the importance of cover and concealment and, you know, by extension, that's protection. And the moment that you have the ability to put up walls and protect what's yours, protect the things that you're willing to fight for that you deem valuable, you have the recipe for a siege. And it's the one-upsmanship of war that's gone on through millennia, which is almost like a game, a constant game of rock, paper, scissors, where you'll have a military adaptation, not just a wall, but then a different way of angling the wall, adding a moat or adding creating a star shape in order to fortify. And then in the 15th century, for example, you have firepower that is so powerful and it is so strong that you have the ability to lay waste to those walls, to quite literally knock them down. Hmm. And then, you know, it's
just in terms of like catapults.
Oh no. Gunpowder.
Of course.
mobile cannon fire gunpowder. Yeah. It's a very small moment in time. It was a blitzkrieg down the boot of Italy. It was a blip, like it always is, because there is no ultimate weapon. There is no ultimate defense. And so let's go back to the question. It is incredibly effective to cut off a combatant from their source of supply, just as it's a wonderful idea to cut off, a combatant from their food sources or their ammunition. And the same thing applies even if you're in a fixed position. And if I were Tywin Lannister, that is what I would seek to do with Rob, which is cut him off from either sources of supply or from other parts of his forces, because he's clearly the combatant that is fighting an away game, whereas the Lannisters are a lot closer to their base of supply.
Yeah, Tywin's burning fields along the way, which is maybe another way to, limit your opponent's resources, I guess.
Yeah. And there is, by the way, there is a chapter in our book about siege warfare. And it's an issue that that pops up over and over again in the show. The Blackfish at one moment mentioned sieges are dull because they are dull. Like there's a whole lot of action and then there's a whole lot of waiting around. But not to backpedal on myself, but it's all dependent upon the value of the object. You know, if that particular castle or fixed position is important enough, then you'd be willing to wait for forever to starve it out. You know, whatever actions you choose, I think is a little bit less interesting. It's more interesting when you're asking questions of how long are we willing to put up, put up the fight in order to shut this thing down.
So gunpowder really was the end of knights and castles.
I mean,
that's like, the sense I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point in which the available gunpowder and the mobile firepower on hand overwhelms the defenses of castles. But those, you know, then you start coming up with bigger and better engineering designs that are not going to crumble in the face of superior firepower. You know, generally speaking, in the modern era, since World War I, firepower has won the race between firepower and armor or protection. Mm-hmm. The reason that the question is asked about the Game of Thrones world, why sieges are important and starving out the occupants is important, it's frankly because they lack the firepower in order to level those walls, unless you have a dragon, which at that moment they did not. Nowadays, we can see what modern firepower can do to buildings and protective structures. I mean, modern firepower can level them, which is awful, but it is on display right now in the Middle East.
So that's interesting. So Lacey suggested that the reason why it seemed like a good idea was because you're putting fewer troops in harm's way. But if you're a lord who doesn't care about these troops, it could be, like you said, just could be you just don't feel like you have enough force.
Correct.
To go over the wall, basically.
Correct. Yeah. And again, those walls are a different version of the same military problem as a river. Hmm. So when someone is forced, you know, a castle or a fortress, particularly as depicted in the show and in the book, the approach to those walls is naked. You are not covered and you are not concealed. Now you can construct siege engines, which help you get a little bit closer, but eventually you got to go up those walls. Eventually you've got to approach those, the front door. And so there, you are a ripe target. You are a target-rich environment for the defenders. Hmm. It goes back to what is the value of taking down that objective? How many men are you willing to spend? How much time are you willing to use in order to achieve that objective?
The title of the book is Winning Westeros, How Game of Thrones Explains Modern Military Conflict. And it's put out by Potomac Books. Our listeners will want to pick that up.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.